Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon, copyright 2011. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at ChristChurchBranchCove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
As you remain standing, please give attention to the reading of God's Word. I'm reading this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we know that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways higher than our ways. But Father, even in the storms, may we give honor and glory to you and ascribe the glory that is due to your name. For you are our King and God. And you are the one who loved us and gave us your Son to die in our place. And it's for his sake and his glory, may we go and do likewise. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, in the events of this past week, with all the destructive storms, some of the most destructive in the history of Alabama, it gives new meaning to Paul's admonition that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When we see those that we love dearly lose their homes, their father, it just takes our breath away. And a few weeks ago, we were working through the understanding of the will of God as we were reading in 1 Thessalonians 4. And we talked about God's will in the preceptive sense. That is, in the sense that he teaches us his precepts. This is God's will for what we ought to do. And it's in this passage that Paul is speaking of God's will in the decretive sense. That is, his decrees, as we confessed from our confession of faith this morning, and as we learn from our catechisms, that the decrees of God are his eternal purposes, whereby for his own glory he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And so in both senses of God's will, we look back to the beginning of this section of Thessalonians, in which he says, that how we ought to walk and please God, living out this revealed will of God, doing what we ought to do, and accepting his foreordained will of whatever he brings to pass for his own glory. So let's reflect on what it means to please God, even in these hard providences that we've seen over the past few days. Well, pleasing God is associated with an entire manner of life. It's a comprehensive attitude of love for God and love for people. It's not a laboring under demands that can never be met, a constantly feeling that you do not measure up, but rather, as Paul wrote to that other Macedonian church in Philippi, saying, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You see, this motivation is the realization that God's Spirit is doing the work in us as we yield ourselves to obedience to his will. He also likens their financial sacrifice for him as a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And so the fragrance of our lives is to be that kind of aroma of daily presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. Such a pleasing aroma emanates from our community life and the personal transformation that God is doing in each one of us, conforming us into the image of Christ as we yield ourselves to him. And so let's think about that sweet aroma of our community life that's so pleasing to God. Paul exhorts these Christians in Thessalonica to esteem those who labor and watch over you. And I just want to say, you model this. We as elders deeply appreciate your love, which makes our job so much easier. And it's by your love for one another that you are the ones who are preaching the sermons. It's just a joy to watch and marvel what God is doing in your lives. And I want you to notice here in this passage that Paul is not speaking to the leaders. He's speaking to the entire congregation when he says to be at peace, to warn the unruly, that is, those in living undisciplined lives, not working to provide for themselves and their families and to share with others. And as he tells them to comfort the faint-hearted and uphold and strengthen the weak, and to be patient with all. This is all our responsibility as a body. We do these things because we're a family bound by common blood, the blood of Christ. It's why the Kings and the Crawfords, the Boyds and the Wrights, worked tirelessly for hours trying to remove a 2-story house that collapsed into a 4-foot pile of rubble on top of the Lee family, not even knowing that hundreds of trees blocked the access road so people couldn't get there. And you didn't have to tell the Brodocks and the Hueys and the Whites to go out in the storm and try to make their way to the Lees. The Brodocks and the Hueys were the first ones cutting their way down through the road, through hundreds of trees, so that emergency vehicles could get in. When Alan and I arrived about 2 a.m., we saw helicopters evacuating those who were critically wounded, school buses carrying off the dead, and the devastation all around, even in the darkness, was overwhelming. And there was one thing that kept coming to my mind. And that is, I'm not leaving here without my family. And so, with the Crawfords and the King's car destroyed, at daybreak, we piled into our 18-passenger van. The King's, all the Crawfords except for Aaron, in our 8-passenger van. You do the math. But you know, we're bound by blood. The blood of Christ. That's what nourishes us all. This is the sweet aroma of our community life, and it's well-pleasing to God. Well, there's also the sweet aroma of our personal transformation into the image of Christ. As Paul speaks of a rejoicing and a thankful life, do we have to look any farther than the lives of the Crawfords and the Lee families who've gone through such devastation and yet hold everything with an open hand and bear up under it with such grace, saying with Job, should we accept only good from the Lord and not adversity? So what if God is pleased to bring glory to Himself through our adversity? That in our hardships, in our weaknesses, He may demonstrate His power in ways that we may have never known before. I was reminded just yesterday of the time that Tom Lee cut his thumb almost all the way off. And as someone was taking him to the hospital, he was saying, I don't know how, but God's going to be glorified in this. And sure enough, in the hospital, he's able to share Christ with someone who's willing to yield his life. Is it any wonder that his daughter Tiffany, in her injuries, said that, I just pray that God be glorified in this. She caught his spirit, as even all their children have. Because they live a prayerful life, a spirit-empowered life. Paul says to pray constantly, to not quench the spirit at work in us. And we're reminded of the morning and the evening sacrifices, which were a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And so as we offer up our bodies as living sacrifices daily, constantly seeking God's will, yielding to God's Spirit in obedience, relying on the power of His Spirit to die to self every day. You see, this is the way Tom Lee lived. He didn't lay down his life for his family one time. He laid down his life for his family constantly, countless times. Daily, he died. His death was just a continuation of how he lived. A spirit-empowered life. A prayerful life of rejoicing, of giving thanks, even in the most difficult circumstances. This is the path to a sweet aroma of personal transformation as image bearers of Jesus, our Messiah. And so as we think on how God is pleased, as we seek His will, as we as a community of believers in the extended body of Christ seek to come together. Because when one part of the body suffers infliction, we all enter into their pain. For those who have been hit by this tragedy, life is no longer normal. And therefore, it's no longer normal for all of us. So if you're thinking about a summer mission project, well, guess what? It has come to us. You don't have to go anywhere. And even as you have been doing and cleaning up the home site, and washing clothes, and setting up meals, housing families, so I say we have opportunities to continue to do so all summer long. You see, the rebuilding effort will also require lots of sacrifices, lots of breaking off the top of that alabaster jar to let out the sweet aroma of our community life, of a spirit-empowered, prayerful life of rejoicing and thanksgiving that transforms us into the image of Christ. This is what God has called us to. This is why He brought us out of darkness and into His light, that we might be the people of God to shine a light to a lost generation of what it means to be light bearers, what it means to reflect the image of Jesus, dying daily, making those joyful sacrifices so that others can live. This is the path that Jesus gave us. There is no other. This is the way that we please God. Let us pray. Father, we just come to you this morning, marveling at your grace in the lives of the people that have been so affected by this tragedy. And yet, Father, we see the light of Christ shining through them. And Father, we are so amazed at your mercy and grace in the midst of it all. Father, we do pray that you would receive our sacrifices, that they might be acceptable, a sweet-smelling aroma to you, that your name may be glorified through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.